so, Lord. Let's just go to him in prayer before we turn to the scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, indeed, Lord, it is a grand privilege, Lord, for us to have a place where we can come and assemble. And Lord, the assurance that we have, Lord, that we're not coming to hear some collection of words, Lord, that have been put together by a panel of men or women, Lord, and passed down, Lord, to where, Lord, you could look ahead in a book, Lord, to see what sermon's going to be preached at what date and what during that year. Lord, I'm not criticizing that, Lord, but I'm so thankful, Lord. Lord, that I know, God, that we get it fresh from you. It's not man's words. Lord, man has nothing to do with it because man can't do what these words do. What these words have done, man's words couldn't do that. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll bless us in a special way this morning. Lord, I pray you'll help and strengthen your people. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. And I want to begin reading at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to title this message this morning, After. After. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we look at the life of Abraham, and how Abraham had been called out of the Chaldeans where he had lived, and he knew there was something drawn and pulling him, and it was something greater than him. I believe Abraham realized that what was drawing him, what was causing him to look for another place, it was something greater than himself. There was something in him that was drawing him, but that was in him was greater than just his own desire. It was greater than just a desire that a human could have. It was something that actually drove him. And he couldn't get away from it. And it was that very thing that helped Abraham through everything he faced. Abraham faced a lot of hard times and hard trials. It was after Abraham had been separated from family. You remember how he was supposed to separate himself and he wouldn't. And God finally took the life of Abraham's father just to get him separated from him. And then Abraham, you know, it was after he had endured hearing the complaints of his herdsmen not having enough grass, and you know, and after he had Lot separated from him, and it was after him enduring age and the what age does to an individual. It was after him enduring where he had reached this point in his life to where he was no longer fertile. He had endured all of that waiting for the promise. He had got the promise. He had received word of the promise.
But he went through all these things, enduring through all of them. And it was after, only after that he had endured through all those, that he got to talk face to face with Elohim. It was only after all that that God came down into the body of a man and came and ate and drank and fellowshiped with him. It was only after that that he obtained a greater revelation of God. Then, after here, him and Sarah is already old, then knowing they were past the time of being able to have children, then they go through a process of going back and turning young again. And this is an experience for Abraham. Abraham wouldn't have had the experience of growing young again if he hadn't grown old first. When you remember in the New Testament, in Hebrews, where it talks about that Abraham, when he was asked to go and to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, that he said he knew that God was able to bring him back from the dead because he had already brought them back from the dead. So Abraham experienced a type of the resurrection in his own body. But he couldn't experience that until after he had grown old, after age was taking him close to death, to where death was already gripping his body, making them to where they could no longer bear children. But yet then he got to experience, after that, he got to experience what resurrection was. He couldn't have obtained these revelations without going through these things. God made himself more real to Abraham because he went through these things, facing God asking a great thing of him, sacrifice his son. He would have never saw the beauty of the type of an innocent one taking the place. He would have never experienced Jehovah Jireh, I'll provide myself a sacrifice. He had to first endure that. He had to do. He was asked to do the unthinkable. And after he was asked to do the unthinkable and to endure that, then and only then was he able. He couldn't have got that revelation any other way. Have you ever wondered, why does God let trouble come upon us? I believe God loves us, don't you? We know that. But as humans, sometimes we wonder, if you love us, why do you allow this trouble to come upon us? I have learned not to ever say, it can't get no worse than this. When you think you faced your worst trial ever, don't ever say, well, it can't get no worse than this.
Because it definitely can. The prophet of God says, he says, God harnesses trouble, puts a bit in its mouth, and makes it obey him. And those troubles bring us into a closer fellowship with God. I'll tell you this, there's nothing like harsh trouble that'll bring you to a time where you pray more than you ever prayed in your life. How often do we talk to the Lord? I'm not just talking about, Lord, bless the food, and now I lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about how often do we actually talk to the Lord. There's times that we come and talk to the Lord where we ain't asking for anything. Where we can just come and thank him for his love and his grace. I don't want to become like those that were brought out of Egypt. It didn't matter how much God had done for them. Whenever a new trouble arose, they whined and complained about it. I don't want to become that way. I believe it's in the book of Jude, it said, after being saved, they end up being lost. I don't want to be that way. I'm human. You're human. We don't like trials. Nobody ever prays for trials. The trials of our time, we maybe would look and think about, I know I had in years past, I'd look and think about those that when Rome was killing the Christians, and then how some were sawed asunder, others was pulled apart by horses, others were fed to lions, and all the different things that they'd done, made sport of them. And I thought, oh Lord, I remember when I was young thinking, man, could I ever face that? Could I do that? But that ain't what we face today. And I wondered at the prophet saying that when we get there on that day and we meet those Christians that gave their lives in those times, that they would look at us and ask us, how did you ever make it? But you know, what we face in this time, a lot of times, the powers of the world, it ain't something you can see. We face mental things. We face things that torment us. I think it's horrible facing something that you don't hardly know what all is going to happen or what you are facing. You know it's there, and you just like to say, let's just hurry up and get this over with. But Abraham not only endured, the Bible said, but he patiently endured. He patiently endured. And that's hard. I can remember as a young boy, someone come and asked for prayer, asked the preacher, said, pray for me, I need patience. And he said, do you know what you're asking for? Because the Bible says, tribulations worketh patience. If you want patience,
you're going to face some tribulation. You're going to face some trials, some hard times where you'd like them to just hurry up and get done with. If you're going to kill me, just hurry up and get it over with. But it just keeps lingering on. And you think, well, and we don't all face the same things. We face different things. It's according to how you're made up. It's according to where your fears may lie. The prophet said that Job's fear is what brought the things upon him, what he feared. In my life, I've faced things that were great, unsurmountable things to face, no way out of them. You had to go through them. But they only involved me. It only involved my life. When I was in the Army, we came down with orders that we was going to the Middle East, and we were going to war. I just had to do it. Did I have to deal with fear? Yeah, I did. But the thing I found out, that what I was going through, it wasn't really even hitting any weakness I had. That I was actually able to go through it quite well. And I don't discount God's grace in it. I don't discount God, what he put in me. It's what God had put in me that allowed me to be able to go through that and seemingly without fear. But that's because my weakness is not about fear over myself. My weakness is not fear over something happening to me. My fear is something happened to my family. When that something comes against the family, then that really digs me deep. Because I would gladly lay down my life for any one of them. Noah, you think of everything Noah endured. Noah endured through a very corrupt time among men. The Bible said that their imaginations were constantly on evil. And Noah, when God told him to build something that seemed inconceivable, it seemed ridiculous to those that lived around Noah. And Noah endured 120 years preaching that God was going to send a flood. Sometimes y'all have wondered how many times Brother Jerry going to preach a particular subject line. What do you think about those that sat in Noah's sermons? 100 years in, they say, surely he got something else to preach. And he'd get up and he'd say, people, I got a message for you today. It's going to rain and God's going to flood the earth. And the only way to be saved is go in this ark I'm building. There he goes again. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They criticized him. Can you imagine the faces that he looked upon while he preached? Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine Abraham, Noah getting up and beginning to preach against the evil of the day, beginning to preach about how their imaginations were on evil, preaching about marriage, that you sons of God shouldn't be marrying the daughters of women. And they say, well, at least finally he's preaching something else. He says, and because you won't, God's going to send a rain and a flood. And Noah, it was after he endured 120 years of preaching. After he had went in the ark and endured 7 days of nothing happening. When it come time for his message to be vindicated, 7 days and nothing happened. But then it began to rain. And you know, we think of it today and we think, well, what would be so dramatic about it beginning to rain? It had never rained before that time. The Bible said when God created the garden and the earth, there was a mist that rose up from the ground. A mist that rose up from the earth and watered the ground. But now, drops of water started just coming out of nowhere. And can you imagine? I know you can if you live here in Tennessee. It's starting out just raining just a little bit, and the next thing you know, it's like somebody's pouring buckets. I've seen it rain before. Of course, now maybe some of y'all, I know Brother Leo said it rains all the time in Seattle. I could not live there. I could not live there. No more than I think I could live in Alaska somewhere. I don't think I could live there. The rain all the time or all the time, you know, if you had some, you lived in some place maybe up in the northern parts of the world where there's just snow all the time, boy, you'd have to get tired of that. I'll tell you what, I don't get tired of beautiful days. Beautiful days and beautiful sunshine, beautiful temperatures. I ain't talking about these temperatures you can fry an egg under now. I ain't talking about these temperatures where they put a warning out, be careful, you get dehydrated. I'm talking about just nice weather. Nice weather. I'm thankful 2 times out of the year we have really nice weather here in Tennessee. Before summer and after summer. Before winter and after winter. Them 2 times in between in there, we have some real nice days here. But I've been seen here where it would just start to sprinkle a little bit. You couldn't hardly even feel anything. Just see little drops appearing, maybe on the ground. And then all of a sudden, boy, it just starts raining, and you can hear that rain just coming down. You ever heard of where it comes down? It feels like, and maybe there's a little bit of wind, and it just sounds like it's just whipping that rain against your house. It rains that way here. And I just begin to think and imagine in Noah's day, maybe it started off just a little bit like that. And then just began to really begin to pour down the rain. We like to go to Sonic out there by the interstate. There, I like that one out there. And I like to go there sometimes, get a milkshake or something. And it's just a, it's kind of like just a little nice thing, you know, that we do as a family and things. And I prefer going the back roads because I can just take my time and look around, look at the countryside and enjoy it, you know, and not have to drive real fast and all that. You know, I'd rather go that way than get on the interstate and go from our exit down to the next one. But there's a place on there where we got one of them Tennessee bridges. You know, them underwater bridges. And it's on the Piney River. And when it really gets to rain, and it has rained and rained and rained around here like it has here recent, why, that thing is, it's a torrent of water just going across there, heavy current. And I've went across it when it was maybe about that deep, and I could feel it on the tires of my truck as the current was just hitting them. But when it gets up above more than that, I won't cross it. And so we end up having to go the interstate way. And you imagine all of a sudden, in this rain coming down, every body of water on the face of the earth began to overflood its banks. Where they used to maybe be able to cross or walk, they couldn't anymore because the creeks had become rivers. Huh? And the rivers had so expanded that they still looked like a moving lake more than they did a river. And imagine then, it just kept on raining and raining and raining and raining until the oceans began to come over their boundaries. These great bodies of water that take up so much space already on the earth. And they, all of a sudden, they don't have enough space for to hold all the water. They tell me there's places out in the ocean where they yet never have reached the bottom. All of a sudden, it starts overflowing the land. Land begins to shrink. What were they thinking then? And it rained and rained and rained, and even though Noah's message was being vindicated by the rain, I don't know how long it took before it rained enough and flooded enough to where the ark raised up off the ground. And then it was after Abraham and, Noah had endured all that, they saw a rainbow for the very first time. A covenant that God gave man that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. It was only after that that Noah could witness this great wonder of God. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Imagine what it was like to have been in their shoes. And said, look now, boys, all you got to do is just when we play upon these instruments here, this certain sound, then all you got to do is bow your knee to the image of your prophet. Remember that image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected? It was the image unto Daniel, the prophet. He said, all you got to do is bow to your prophet. I wonder how many others, because there was more than just three Hebrew children there. But I wonder how many others did bow their knee before the image of their prophet. And did it because they said, well, he's, after all, he is our prophet. I wonder how many of them worshiped an image of a prophet. When they knew, hallelujah, that they was not to have any other God before him. When they knew they should not worship any other God save Jehovah. How many of them said, well, it's okay, because Jehovah spoke through this prophet. You remember the message Brother Branham preached, Uncertain Sound? I wonder how many is listening to an uncertain sound today. And are worshiping a man rather than the Christ that the man introduced. You know, there were those that still was following John the Baptist after Jesus Christ came. And John said, I must decrease so he can increase. John told his disciples, go follow him. Go follow him. He's taking me off. I'm being took off the scene because what I was sent here to do was forerun the coming of this one. Now I'm finished. Don't look for me to come back. You imagine John, you imagine any of those maybe in that day, I wonder if they had return ministry believing people in John the Baptist after his life was taken. Or surely God's got to send John the Baptist back. Because not all things have been yet fulfilled. Woo! And I said, hold on now. John the Baptist, he only got half of it done. The promise was that all this was going to be fulfilled. Not having a revelation that the spirit that was on John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah revisiting the earth again. Not realizing it was the third visit of the spirit of Elijah, and that there was two more visits yet to come. And for that to happen, it didn't mean that John the Baptist had to be resurrected and come back on the scene and ride the trail again. There was going to be, just like there had been Elisha and John the Baptist, there was going to be another man that spirit would come down upon. Now, they say that man has to come back, some people. It's not going to be. The next coming of that spirit of Elijah, remember, Elijah never died. The next coming is during the time of the tribulation, when those two prophets, Elijah and Moses, will go to the Jew and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jew. Huh? Yeah. That's not Brother Branham. three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was after they wouldn't bow their knee. It was after that they endured the wrath of the king. Can you imagine those standing around saying, what, maybe others, other Hebrews standing around saying, what is your problem? Yeah. Don't you realize this is all you got to do and your life will be spared? Hallelujah! But it was only after they got cast in a fiery furnace that they got to walk with one that looked like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. It was only after they got thrown in the fiery furnace that the Son of Man came down and appeared in their midst. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that maybe our troubles just ought to bring us up to the brink of something and then let off. That's what I wish for a lot. Just take me to the edge, but don't let me fall over. Sometimes the trouble arises so great it totally engulfs you. I've seen people go through great trials. And I would wonder, why did they question what they were going through? But I don't wonder. I don't wonder now. That's something that's just, it's just human, part of human nature. Human nature doesn't like disappointment. I don't expect I'm any different than anybody else when it comes to that. I don't like disappointment. I don't like to be disappointed. Not that I hold myself up as something great. I just don't enjoy disappointment. I'm not typically someone who will look at a situation and look and think for the very worst and then feel presently surprised when it doesn't go quite that bad. I'm not that type of individual. I'm always trying to find a way to beat it. I'm always trying to find a way out. I never want to give up. I never want to roll over. But like a lot of us are as humans, that's what we end up getting in God's way a lot of times, because we want to take control of it. We want to make something happen out of it. We want to change something. And God will allow something to come along, friends, where all control was ripped out of your hands. And there's not seemingly anything that you can do to change it, the situation. And that's rough. That's hard. But the thing is, God's got it in control. And recently, I got to thinking about a message that I've listened to quite frequently, be certain of God. And in that message, Ram says, if you pray, then you expect, you want God to answer that in just your own way. He said, you've made God an image, an idol. And I just recently got to thinking about that. Because I looked at some things I was praying about, and I thought, my goodness, that seemed like that prayer didn't get answered. Or seemed like it, I thought it would go differently. I know I'm not alone in this. I wouldn't be preaching this if I was the only one that felt this. But I'm not preaching this to bring you to join into misery, but to point toward after Abraham endured, patiently endured, then he obtained the promise. After he had endured all the trials, the tests, after Noah had endured and come down to the condition he was in, only then, after Shadrach and Meshach didn't just come face to face with the furnace, they didn't just get close to it, they got thrown in it. And it says that the temperatures were so hot that the men that threw him in died from the temperatures. The king, because he didn't really want to do it, he had been tricked into this. He didn't want to look and see him destroyed. So he asked somebody, said, look. And they said, behold, I see four men walking down there. And he said, didn't we just cast in three? He said, yes. But the fourth man looks like the Son of God. In the midst of the fire. Walking in the midst of the fire. Not only outside of it. Not just standing by, standing witnessing. But being right in the very midst of a fire that killed the ones that throwed them in. How many times over they heated that furnace where they threw them in. The fire couldn't hurt them. Remember what they said? They said, whether he'll deliver us out of the fire furnace or not, or no, one thing's for sure, he's going to deliver us out of your hands, O king. They didn't know what was going to happen when they got thrown in there. As far as they know, they were just going to get delivered out of the hands of the king. As far as they know, the fire was going to do what it did to anybody else. It was going to burn them alive. They had never seen anybody walking in fiery flames like that before. No one had. Anyone else that was cast in there died. But now, the impossible happened. Something that was inconceivable, something that surpassed logic. Many times what gets us so tore up is we lean a lot on our logic. Now, logic helps us out in a lot of things from day to day. I read something this morning a teacher had wrote, said one of her students come up to her and knew he was failing and said this was the final exam. He asked her, he said, how much do I got to make on this final exam in order to have a passing grade for this class? And she said, well, the test is only worth 100 points and you'd need 113 just to get a D. And he said, how many do I need to get a C? His logic wasn't serving him very well. Logic can serve us in this life, but when it comes to spiritual things, it will surpass your logic. You can say, look at the circumstance. Logic would tell you nobody could walk on water. And yet, not just Jesus Christ, but Peter walked on water. Logic would tell you that if somebody was cast into a furnace like this, they'd be burned alive. But it went against logic. Logic would tell you when Abraham and Sarah got too old that it was too late. It was past time. That's what Sarah's logic was telling her. And because of Sarah leaning to that logic, she laughed in the tent behind him, remember? Our logic, all it will do is cause more fear when it comes to the things of the Lord and spiritual things. When you're going through a test and a trial, it said, let us be followers of them who through faith and patience. Our faith is tested. Someone told me they went to a service, heard a man preach some just a few years ago, and he got up and he said, do you fear cancer? And you know, they just said it to me recently, and I just kept thinking on that and kept thinking on that. And I've prayed for people that's had cancer and God healed them. I prayed for people and God healed them from cancer, and they turned around and walked out on God, didn't even serve God no more. I believe God's delivered us a message in such a way that we shouldn't fear cancer. And yet at the same time, I know that when it's our time to go, why, just about anything could take us out of this life. But that's the key. It can't take us until it's our time. Daniel prayed. We look at Daniel as a very spiritual man, very devout Hebrew. But you know, Daniel didn't get to see the angel of God until after he was thrown in the lion's den. Then the angel of the Lord come down and stood between him and the lions. and the lions wouldn't even come near him. That is not logical. Yet it happened. Why do we have trials? Brother Branham said trials are brought upon us. The Bible says are more precious than gold itself, for it's God given us those trials. After we give our lives to the Lord, after you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, it wasn't until after David was anointed that the Philistines came against him so great. After we give our lives to God and we feel the Brother Branham said before you get the Holy Ghost, he said you wasn't even in the battle. He said once you get the Holy Ghost, then all of a sudden you're in the battle. And I'll tell you something, we're facing a very seasoned foe. Very seasoned foe. God, to perfect us in his glory, he'll bring us to a place to where we face such difficulties, troubles, trials, testing. And you know, through it, God will make himself more real to us than he was before we went through the trial. I think of the scripture, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, that are the called according to his purpose. All things. That means not just the good things, but even the bad things are going to end up working for your good. Even when Satan is allowed, and he can only come against you when God allows him to, you realize death is just a vehicle that takes us out of here and carries us into the next dimension. But death itself can't touch anyone until the purpose of God for their life has been served. They look at when Moses was born. Because of the prophecy that had been set forth, and it got into the ears of Pharaoh, he started having all the baby Hebrew boys killed. And through all that, he couldn't touch Moses. Because why? Moses was going to have to live to be 80 years old before he could serve God's purpose. You know, often we think of maybe children, young ones, they think of Moses, they think of Charlton Heston. You know, and, you know, here he comes and is of the time, the great physique that he had and everything else, you know, and then they show him going out and his hair grows, you know, white and gray and so forth and on and whatever, but he's still coming back, he's still Charlton Heston. Moses left, he was in good shape. He was 40 years old. He was an old man.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there. God kept him alive because he was going to have to serve his purpose. Look, the flood, Noah was never in danger of drowning. The Bible doesn't say whether he could swim or no, but he was never in trouble of drowning because Satan couldn't take him. Death couldn't take him until God's purpose had been served. That's why the fire furnace couldn't take the three Hebrew children. Couldn't take them. Why? The purpose of God was yet to be served. Lions couldn't eat Daniel. Think about John the Revelator. How many times they tried to kill him. They tried so many different ways to kill John. But finally they put him out in the Isle of Patmos and banned him from everybody that said he's a witch. Because we just can't, it ain't possible to kill him. Couldn't kill him. No matter what they done. And that, the things they done, boiled him in oil and so on. Things they did, it's not logical that he could survive that. But he did. Why? Because he had to, after enduring that, he had to write the book of Revelations. A book that to many remains a mystery to this day, but to this end time bride, it's been revealed. We know whose number's 13. America. We see her in the book of Revelations. We know who that woman in purple, who she is. Hallelujah. We're not wondering at it. Friends, we know that the book has been taken out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. We know the book has been opened. We know, look, we know we're living in a time of when John was told to take the book and eat the book. But think of how many things you endured before you got that revelation. How many things did you endure in your life before you came to this message? How many troubles did you endure because of your mistakes? Because of wrong decisions? Maybe some of the stuff still haunts you today. Maybe you feel like you're still paying for them. But after all that, then God brought you to the end time truth. Satan can't do anything unless God permits it. And then when God does permit it, it's him working something out for your good. You know what? That doesn't sound logical. It's not logical that God would allow Satan to bring something on us to serve for our good.
I've been by the bedside of several people that was passing from this life. And I'll tell you this. If you think when somebody, a Christian, born again Christian, when it's time for them to pass out of this life, you think you're going to go in that room and you're going to encourage them, let me tell you, give you something else. You're not. When you go in there, you'll end up getting encouraged by them. I've seen it happen time after time. I've seen them say, don't weep for me. Because I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Satan tried to take, as we mentioned earlier when we first started, Satan tried to take Abraham's life by age. But he couldn't, because God had a purpose to be served yet. And when God purposed something, it's only going to be accomplished the way that he has it in his mind to be accomplished. When Sarah tried some other way, God didn't accept it. Remember when he come down and told him to sacrifice, he said, take thy son, thy only son. Yea, I tell you, I've been thinking about this scripture a lot lately. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I've been thinking about that scripture a lot. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. Years ago, I heard a preacher say, he said, nobody's ever been bit by the shadow of a dog. Nobody's ever been killed by the shadow of a gun. He said, it's the shadow of death. Why? Because we can't die. This body can die and us leave the scene, but the real you can't die. You just walk into another dimension. So it's a shadow of death. And even then, there's a resurrection coming. Hallelujah! I'll tell you, death has taken a lot of folks, my loved ones, friends, from this earth. But there's coming a day of resurrection, and I know I'll see them again. I'm not going to be worried about if Ford Motor Company gets its payment that month. I'm not going to be worried about if Dixon Electric gets paid that month. I don't care if they cut us off. The water shut it down. I'm not going to be worried about it getting paid when the resurrection happens. Hallelujah. Oh, friends. To imagine us being here about a month or so with our resurrected loved ones and friends. That's not logical. That don't make no sense. But it's going to happen. After we have endured everything that has been intended for us to endure, not that we suffer, but these things are for our perfection. They draw us closer to God. we come out more like Christ on the other side of them. I've often told people when I went through 3 back surgeries and trying to recuperate from them, recuperating is worse than the surgery. I slept through the surgeries. The pain of recuperating, oh my goodness. I'm going to say this, it would offend you, I'm sorry, but Brother Branham said in one place, he said, you two men sitting there said, these women need a place to sit down, said, y'all stand up and give them, he said, wait a minute, said, both of y'all suffer from hemorrhoids. He said, God's healed you, and I stand up and give you seats to these two sisters. I tell you what, there ain't no pain and suffering I've been through like when they take hemorrhoids. Whew. And you think suffering is over? It's going to be a while. But I've come through things like that, and here's what I've said. They've made me have more compassion. I've never, to this point, by the grace of God, I've never suffered anything with my heart. But I can have compassion on those who have. And understanding. I don't have to have went through it myself now. Hallelujah. God perfects us by the things he allows us to go through. We become out more like Christ. I want to read this scripture before I close. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's stand. You had to help me to get through this. I'm so broke up. God, bless your people. Bless them. Give them assurance, oh God. It's our faith, Lord, that'll take us through patiently. Lord Jesus, Lord, just increase our faith, oh God. How are we going to have faith for a body change? How are we going to have faith for a rapture? We can't have faith through the things that we face. I just ask you, Lord, bless your people. Oh.
may dismiss this time.